So today I'll be reading from Sotapatthimagga, which is a collection of excerpts from talks given by Thanajan Anand, starting with "The Peaceful Heart Discovers the Truth," starting a little bit in. If we have samadhi and use its strength to investigate step by step, we will be able to see that this body is neither beautiful nor attractive. It's just elements. Have you seen a leaf? Imagine one. It starts out small as a green shoot, then gets greener and bigger. It then gets older, withers, and eventually falls to the ground. All the green is gone, and now it's just brown. This brown leaf gradually decomposes. Finally, it changes back to earth. Our body is just the same as this leaf, the same as the tree, the bark, the heartwood. They all go through changing conditions in this sequence. When the life force is gone, it just decomposes and disappears. In the end, whether it's the hair of the head, hair of the body, nails, teeth, or skin, they all follow their natural course of change. The color changes and they break up. The bones are the same. They go from white to brown. In the end, they just end up as the earth element, just as they were originally. Then the perception of bones, of a body, disappears, and only the earth element remains. When we really pull it apart and analyze it as the earth element, we find that it's just a huge mass of naturally existing elements that have fused together. If we break it down even further, we see that they are just tiny molecules and elements. If we blow them apart, we find they are just energy. But in the end, they can be separated out until they aren't even there. Only a mass with no real abiding, a fusion of energy that eventually dissipates. It's the same with water. It's just hydrogen and oxygen that have come together. But if we pull these two apart, the water isn't there anymore. In the same way, what we call us and our bodies have no real essence, as they will also break apart and disappear. The rupa sankharas and nama sankharas that are dependent on causes and conditions simply arise, remain here for a while, and then fade away. If the heart is calm in samadhi, when we investigate, it will be able to penetrate and see clearly. We can let go of the conventions of a being, person, I, us, and them. But if the heart doesn't have this samadhi, then we will only see in terms of me and self. So we have to develop the power of samadhi, investigate the body as elements. Investigating the body as elements is one method we can use, dividing the body into four parts, like someone cutting up a cow into four parts. Get in there and investigate every part, bit by bit. The earth element is all the harder parts of the body, the liquid parts that have the characteristic of being fluid and soft as the water element. The air element is basically the breath, and the places where there is warmth is the fire element. All the four elements combine together to fulfill their purpose. Yet in the end, when they all break apart and disintegrate, we can't find any being, person, I, us, or them. So the feeling we get that this body is ours, where does it come from? It comes from the mind itself, the mind still in ignorance that latches onto everything. We ask ourselves, how come this body isn't mine? These painful feelings arise and I feel sore here, pain there. If I sit long, it hurts. It might even go numb. So how is it that this feeling isn't mine? Well, if these feelings are ours and we have labeled them as ours before we came to sit here, did we have these feelings? Of course not. We didn't have this pain or discomfort as we have come to sit now. Here for a long time, our circulation isn't moving around as much, so these painful feelings arise. And these painful feelings, are they always here? Are they going to soon pass away or not? Of course they will disappear. These feelings are merely coming up, staying here for a while, and then passing away. We can also question, are these feelings the mind? Are they the mind, or just one part of it? We see that they are just something that has arisen. They aren't here all the time. The mind remains, but vedana has arisen. Will be here for a while and then disappear. This is the nature of the vedana khanda. Still, our minds attach to these feelings and drag along all the suffering with it. We don't yet have enough strength. Our sati is weak. So we have to get in and practice. We have to get to the stage where sati and samadhi are firm. We have to sit meditation and do the practice until our hearts are calm, until they are still. Then we can move into investigation. Sometimes the heart is calm, sometimes it's not, but this is just normal. We have to keep pushing forward with patience, putting forth effort to develop our meditation. When calm arises, investigate the body. Sometimes we may think, oh, why is it that everyone around me seems so sure of themselves and free of doubts, but I'm filled with them? It's because, though our wanting to see the Dhamma has come about through a lot of listening and studying, which is a form of wisdom, it causes us to expect certain results. It's a constant struggle that gives rise to restlessness. We want so much to achieve. Rinpoche would say to put it aside for now, just leave it alone at this point. It's just like a glass of water. It's just like a glass filled with water. We have to pour the water out before we can put drinking water in. If the glass is filled with water already, the drinking water can't go in. It will overflow. In the same way, if we think we know everything, then the Dhamma can't enter our heart. So at first, we need to reduce ditimana, conceited opinion. This is really important in the way of practice Lungpo Cha taught. Lungpo Cha's style was to lead by example and to do as he taught. Sometimes we might be careless and think critically of him, letting our sense of self come up in the mind. But when we continue the practice, we would admit, who am I to criticize him? I can't keep up with him. Maybe we have good samadhi. In those days, when my samadhi was good, pitti would arise. I could get to upachara samadhi. My mind was cool and at ease. No mental disturbances would enter. Entering states of calm was really easy. I thought, there's no need to investigate the body. I'll go straight to the mind. I didn't want to contemplate the body. I just wanted to go straight to the mind, straight to the Dhamma. So I went and saw Lungpo Cha. He quickly pointed out to me, right now, are you peaceful? Right then, I was nervous and trembling because I was with Lungpo Cha. The peace the heart previously had before totally vanished, and I couldn't even pull myself together. I was flooded with delusion. Then this delusion answered that, yes, I was calm. But all it was doing was taking the state I experienced 1 hour ago and using that as an answer. Looking back at it, I wasn't in the present moment at all. I just took a previous state and brought it up as an answer. But Lungpo Cha knew that this was just illusion talking. He said to go back and keep investigating the body over and over. This really stuck in my mind. Keep investigating the body, right here in this physical mass of sankharas. Still, I thought, why does Lungpo Cha keep having me investigate this body when my mind is so calm? All I want to do is delve into this mind. I wanted the fast track to Nibbana, but later, the deeper levels of samadhi that I had been experiencing subsided. That's how it goes, down, 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 until it's like we have no samadhi at all. We have to go back and carefully tend to the mind anew. We have to reestablish samadhi in the heart. And this is really hard. It's a real struggle, step by step, inch by inch. Contemplating death, walking chankama, sitting in meditation, keeping the mind with the parikama as much as possible. Slowly but surely, it gets better, step by step. And when it gets better, it's better than before. There's more power and satipanya than there was before. Getting in and investigating the body as a subha, as filthy, seeing the body as more and more unattractive, the heart experiences greater levels of piti. As we see the unattractiveness of the body, the heart goes into deeper levels of happiness. The more we see the body as unattractive, the greater the peace becomes. It functions back and forth like this. If in the past we saw this body as attractive, its outer appearance as beautiful, then the heart wasn't radiant. It was engulfed in darkness and overrun with kilesas. But if we see the body as something not beautiful, then the heart becomes beautiful. It becomes bright and luminous because it sees the truth. It's as if the heart flips over and experiences true peace. It becomes calm and still. Investigate hair of the head, hair of the body, nails, teeth, skin. When they are refined and broken down, we can see them as elements, just elements, earth, water, fire, and air. Separate the whole mass out and analyze them as anatta. If we pull them all apart and see them as anatta, then the heart comes to peace. Back and forth, pursue it to the end, and try to find the self. Separate all the elements and see them as they really are. Understand and know what these elements are like. Take a look inside. Where's the earth? Where's the water? Where's the fire? Where's the air? Really look closely. In and out, back and forth, round and round. Split, divide, and analyze them from the angle that they are just elements. Here's the earth. Here's the water. Here's the fire. Here's the air. Investigate down inwards. What's in this body? Poke and prod at it right here. Pick it up and analyze one part. Today, just focus on the water element. What is the water element like in this body? Investigate just this one part. Is this water element a person or self? Review and reflect upon it like this. Water is just water, isn't it? Is the water outside us a person or self? So why is the water inside this body a person or self then? How is that so? Is it really a being or a person? Investigate this thoroughly and clearly. Bile, phlegm, pus, blood, spit, grease, urine. Investigate them one by one, closely, back and forth, all through the water element, until we see the whole mass joined together as anatta. Our hearts will become at ease, like a weight has been lifted, because we have seen the truth. We keep on investigating, looking at it over and over again, until we feel that its intensity has faded and become flat, until the investigation becomes stale. Then investigate another part of the water element, change it around often, and bring it back to the start and go again. Investigate the earth element as well. Hair of the head, hair of the body, nails, teeth, skin. What are they like? What does the earth element appear like? How does it change appearances? In the end, what does it end up like? Where does it go to? And where does it come from? Why is it in this state now? In the past, was it the same? Investigate back and forth, over and over, until it falls apart and is reduced to its original state. The food that we consume is just elements as well. How does it enhance and supplement us? Look at it. The earth adds to the earth, water adds to the water, fire to fire, wind to wind. Investigate right at earth, water, fire, and there. Right here, this mass of four elements, over and over, in and out, right down to the finest details, and then build them up again in fine detail. Do this for clear seeing and understanding. This is wisdom that comes about through investigation. When the practice declines. For those who have taken up the monastic life, the Krupa Ajahns and the tradition of Lumpuman have always stressed developing samadhi. When we have no involvement in work projects, then there is opportunity in the forests and mountains to develop the heart's deeper levels. But if we do have a lot of responsibilities and duties, then we really have to watch over the heart with wisdom. Sometimes we have to rely on contemplation first to bring the heart to calm, but sometimes, just by focusing on our parikama or on the breath, it becomes calm and quiet. Whatever the case is, these two methods can be used accordingly or alternated at different times. When the heart has experienced calm and withdrawn from it, we need to get in and investigate this massive physical form that is the body. We keep at this until there is clarity in our understanding. This is called vipassana. We use the calm to focus our attention firmly within the body for the arising of panya. One kind of panya comes from listening and hearing, another from reflecting and pondering. But the panya that arises from calm is the panya of bhavana. This is vipassana that will give rise to clarity in our heart. We may sometimes experience enormous amounts of piti for a month, maybe even many months. If we think that this is vipassana, we lose ourselves to vipassanupakilesa, defilement of insight. We aren't interested in taking up the investigation into the body and our own moods and emotions. We may think we don't need to investigate the elements of earth, air, water, and fire anymore. We feel there is no need, that just watching the mind is sufficient, because when we start to investigate the body, it just switches and wants to drop into calm. This makes us think we only need to investigate the mind, and that it's not necessary at all to investigate the body. Yet Lungpu Cha would always teach to get in and investigate the body. But to just keep investigating the mind won't last very long, and our energy will be depleted. All the calm and peace we experienced will disappear, the same as someone who has never done any meditation at all. All the proliferation takes over again in a flooding wave, liking and disliking take over again. This is common. We might think that our meditation has fallen apart, but if we rise up with a resolution to put forth effort in every posture, standing, walking, sitting, and lying down, to focus our sati continuously and firmly as we had done before, putting down our various burdens and duties, this should make the calm of our mind come again anew, and this calm will be deeper than before, and our panya will go deeper than before. This is the natural way of progress. This is the natural progress of developing samadhi. Initially, it isn't that firm. It's not so full, so we must go back and reapply ourselves to the practice until the mind is totally solid, without room to fall back and without flaw. Our formal practice will evolve to a new stage of maturity. Therefore, let us all have patient endurance and persistence in our practice. Let us always work towards developing the five spiritual powers to perfection. These five powers of sadha, faith, wirya, energy, sati, samadhi, and panya, until they are sources of power for the mind. The parami from this is of the highest kind and will lead us to understand the Dhamma. Putting forth effort in samadhi is something of the utmost importance. We have to try to steadily apply our minds so as to experience deep calm and peace, to suppress all the moods and emotions, all the vedana. If we can cross over and rise above the barrier of vedana, sometimes we will be able to see it as totally separate from nāmana, from the mind. Whenever vedana arises within our body, we focus in and investigate it so that the mind pulls away and disassociates from it. The struggle with vedana is really an exercise of development in line with the Satipatthana Sutta. Therefore, every single one of us that have come here with the firm resolve to practice needs to put forth effort and have patient endurance. If we can keep this practice constant, this will make our minds advance and progress, giving us encouragement to keep practicing further. Nibbana is the highest happiness. Lumpu Cha would emphasize that we have to get out and walk Chankama, sit meditation, recollect and investigate Kesa, Loma, Naka, Danta, Tacho. This is what will make us happy and content. If we don't get in and investigate, what will our lives be like? Distressed. Why is that? When liking arises, all different sorts of substances flood the body, like hormones rushing up and overflowing the brain. It influences our behavior. This is the natural way of the world and of our physical bodies. We have to fight these natural tendencies, rise above them, keep watching over them by investigating always. The heart will then be at peace. I ask that everyone be intent on the practice of Asubha Kamatana. If someone has a tendency of leaning towards panya, probe, question, inquire, and find the cause and effect, this can make the mind quiet and drop into calm. Use your sati, use your panya. Look inside the body and see it as merely elements. See it as anicca, dukkha, anatta. Make it peaceful. Look at all the moods, emotions, and feelings of the body and of the mind. Whether sukha or dukkha, they're all anicca, dukkha, anatta. Any sleepiness that arises, see it as dhamma. When it is there, it has to pass away. It doesn't belong to anyone or have any abiding self. This is dhamma. Whatever arises, thoroughly investigate it and frequently examine it. Diligently train and practice a lot. The sila that is kept well will be the cause for the arising of samadhi. The good fruits from our development of samadhi will be the cause for the arising of panya. And the panya we have developed well will give rise to the knowledge of release. This is the practice developed step by step. So the practice of dana, sila, and bhavana is the same way that will lead us out of all dukkha. Panya will arise out of bhavana and will lead to peace in the heart. If our dana still isn't well established, our sila isn't perfect, and our samadhi isn't firm, our panya won't come about. If we think, hey, I've done so much samadhi practice, why haven't I seen any results? We've got to take a look at ourselves. How is our sila? Are we restrained in bodily and verbal actions? When we have this base well established, we have to train the mind. The Kruba Ajahns taught to stick with our kamatana. Look at that. They didn't teach anything extravagant. They taught, stick with Buddha, but when we use Buddha, we don't stay with it. We're only with it for a moment, and then the mind takes off. So we think, oh, Buddha doesn't suit my character. This is because we aren't really staying with it. Naturally, it creates all sorts of doubts. This kamatana doesn't suit me. Maybe this isn't the path at all. I haven't even experienced any calm yet. I think I'll try something else. We can switch to another kamatana, but we have to use something that will make the mind quiet, like frequently recollecting death, contemplate it a lot. When we come into the world, we also bring along old age, sickness, and death. We all have to die. No one can escape it. Constantly contemplate Maranusati, thinking about all those big, tall skyscrapers full of busy people these days. Are any of them aware that they will die? Nobody is thinking about it. Our lives have to end with death. Nothing is certain. We all have to die. This isn't just something that happens to other people. When a close relative or friend passes away, we should see it with a wise sadness. This is panya, but it's not the same as one who is cold-hearted and feels nothing. It's not that once we abandon upadana, there's nothing left at all, and the mind becomes dried up and cold to experiences. Nibbana isn't like that. Nibbana, by definition, must be the highest, most exalted state. How is it that Nibbana is the highest happiness? Nibbanang paramang vadanti buddha. Nibbana is the supreme Dhamma, say all the Buddhas, a happiness above all others. It's a happiness that has not a drop of suffering mixed in with it at all, and it won't decline and fade back into a state of suffering. It's the only permanent happiness. Would you like that? It's something that is truly permanent and lasting, a happiness that never changes. But this happiness has no owner. We could say that we experience this happiness, yet we don't attach or identify with it as our own. It isn't happiness like on the Lokiya, worldly level. It's Lokuttara, world transcendent. It's Nirami, Sasuka. It's a happiness independent of material things or sensual desires. It's a happiness that doesn't change. It's Amata, undying, deathless. And this is the taste of the Dhamma, supreme over all other tastes.
You know, when the time period that Ajahn Mun trained with Lumpu Cha, you know, when that was,
Let's see, it would have been, say, around 1976. I think he's a couple of years junior to me. The first wife in 1976. I met him in 1975. He was still layman. I met him at a branch monastery. He was working for the there's a big cement company. I think he was an accountant for a big cement company. And he would come to that. It was a branch monastery at Legend Charles. And he used to come on a regular basis. And not that long after, the next year, he sort of wound his lay life down. He's spending all his time in the monastery, isn't he? So then he came up to work there. Get ready for evening briefing.